Hey, Marvel Maniacs, welcome to another exciting episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 184. We're recording this on September 13th, 2021. Just a reminder, Guardians of the MCU is part of the Random Chatter Network. Please do check us out at randomchatter.com for information on all of our shows, membership through Patreon, access to the Escape Hatch Discord channel, and show merchandise from TeePublic. I'm Tim. Joining me tonight, one rather ill host and another one who I'm pretty sure is okay.
I am okay.
I'm rather ill. I'm okay.
wait a second. That didn't sound like John.
Not John.
You're not. This is holy crap. It's Lizzie.
It's Lizzie. Also, Lizzie from almost beyond the grave.
Also, Lizzie, you must be good luck today because Tim didn't mess up the intro. So yay!
Yeah. Exactly.
The only one I'm here.
Yay.
All right. So we have a fair amount of stuff that we're going to cover here. Not in volume, but I think in discussion. And then our next episode this week, our episode 185, and I'm going to release these both at the same time because 185 is like insanely timely. We're going to talk about the Hawkeye trailer. Is that okay with you guys to talk about the trailer?
Oh, yeah.
Do
you guys have like thoughts and opinions and excitement about the trailer?
All of the above.
That doesn't sound like me.
Yeah, I mean, Lizzie's usually pretty flat in emotion. Like, we really have to get stuff out of her. It's tough. Yeah. It's tough. Hey, maybe she does. I haven't recorded a show with this woman in like 6 weeks. So maybe it's an all new Elizabeth that she just like doesn't give a crap about anything.
I'm so apathetic to all things now. Era.
All right, folks. Well, with that, let's get on to our news. All right. So first up, this happened like yesterday, I think.
Yesterday, yes,
2 days ago.
Yesterday.
WandaVision has picked up the first Emmys for Marvel Studios. And like this isn't even the full Emmys yet. This was the Creative Arts Emmy Awards. The full Primetime Emmy Awards is this. The 19th. What's the 19th? Saturday? Sunday. Sunday is the 19th. 8 p.m. Eastern on CBS. I think it's also like on Peacock or something. No, not Peacock. Paramount. Paramount Plus, if you have that. All right. So the Creative Arts Emmy Awards that WandaVision got. Outstanding Production Design. Outstanding Fantasy and Sci-Fi Costumes. An Outstanding Original Music and Lyrics for, of course, Agatha All Along.
For the win.
I don't think anyone was surprised about Agatha All Along. WandaVision got a total of 23 Emmy nominations. The Creative Arts ones were kind of the vast majority of them. So there are eight yet to be basically decided upon or announced on Sunday. Those include nominations for Outstanding Limited Series, and acting nominations for Paul Bettany, Elizabeth Olsen, and Catherine Hahn.
Nice.
Yay.
Very excited.
So good. Yeah, they deserved all of them.
Yeah. All right. So this one is going to be a bit of a thought exercise here. Disney has given us some new dates for yet to be named MCU films. They did a little tiny bit of adjustments to some of the 2023 dates. And the 2024 dates that they gave us, there's four of those. Those are new. So for 2023, we have July 28th, October 6th, and November 10th. For 2024, we have February 16th, May 3rd, July 26th, and November 8th. We expect they'll probably stick with those to some extent. Sometimes they get jockeyed around a little bit, maybe adjusted by a week or two. So what do you ladies think or want these to be? And I'll kind of couch it first with, we know that Deadpool 3 is in all likelihood going to be one of them. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Feige, he's already announced Fantastic Four movie at some point in time. So that's probably also going to be one of them. There's probably going to be like an X-Men movie in there.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
But what other thoughts, wishes, ideas do you guys have for movies in these basically the next couple of years?
I know this isn't possible, but I'm going to say it anyways. I would love a Storm movie because I think it's high time that we get some, you know, just Storm gets her own solo movie. It would be a nice way to introduce the X-Men as well, but also introduce how amazing Storm is because she didn't get a lot of love in the X-Men. She got, you know, a little bit, but not to the full extent of her powers. Mm-hmm. So that would be one. I don't know if that would happen anytime soon, but I'm just putting it out there anyways. Because I know Kevin Feige obviously listens to our podcast.
Absolutely.
So, you know, just for him to know that there are people that would like that. That would be one.
I think we're going to get a lot of our, like, sequel, like, lots of sequels and stuff. I mean, if we think about all the ones that are going to be floating out there, there's, like, a Black Panther 3, a Shang-Chi 2. That's the one I want the most, really, right now. Who knows what the Eternals, you know, if that'll end up a trilogy, like, is that like going to be like a Guardians, like that cast will get its own trilogy that'll pour into, sure. I know they're not doing it an Infinity Saga story, but they are still going to have, we know they're going to have crossovers. We know that it's going to impact each other. Who knows what's, you know, is Spider-Man going to be going into like a 4, 5, 6 territory or complete, you know, like what's going to happen after? We know that you're not going to be like done with Peter after his three movies. So that would be weird if they did.
We're going to talk more about Spider-Man in a bit. So hold that thought.
Okay. I'm Doctor Strange 3, most likely. And then who knows? We know Captain America 4 is coming. Blade. Did we get a date for Blade before? Or is that in this slate?
I can't remember. We believe we have a date.
We did get a date. It says October 7th, 2022.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Because they did talk about Secret Wars, but I don't think they gave a date for Secret Wars. Maybe that one was just floating around, but as far as I know, I think that they're doing that. So
Secret Wars is still a rumor. That has not been confirmed by Marvel Studios.
Or Secret Invasion or whatever it was. Well, I'm assuming one of them.
Secret Invasion is going to be a Disney Plus series.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. All right. And like what's interesting about, you know, this era of Disney Plus is like watching the show Falcon and the Winter Soldier and having that translate into Captain America 4, even though like the trilogy was the Chris Evans Captain America trilogy, Captain America 4 is going to be Sam. So it's like the handoffs that can happen are very interesting. Like, will Katie Bishop get a Hawkeye movie at some point? Will She-Hulk get a movie after her series? Like, who knows? That's what's kind of interesting about this slate. Are they going to tend to introduce on Disney Plus and give them like a real chance to get known and then throw them into the movies? Like, who knows? We haven't really seen how that's all going to pan out. Besides like a big, like Eternals or like, you know, character, big new characters, like the Eternals, that's a huge group of people. And with such heavy hitters, I can't imagine them ever like deciding Angelina Jolie starts off at Disney Plus. As much as it's Disney Plus like matters and has impact, it's just like some things are going to have like a bigger gravity and some are going to get that buildup that I think they deserve. So, I mean, definitely like Sheba was saying, and you guys were both saying, X-Men for sure, I think will be in there, but it's just like, are we going to see them first in Disney Plus? You know, that's one that they should definitely like go full throttle, big movie first. But
I would also like to see Ms. Marvel have her own movie, but that's again because I'm a huge Ms. Marvel fan and I just want her to have her own movie also. So that would be fun.
Yeah, but again, like with that is like she's got her show, and then at some point, will it be like a Captain America 4 where it's like then she takes over in that role and we see the handoff? I think that's what we're going to see a lot of in these next like phase 5, phase 6 sort of situations. We're just going to see a lot of the handing off of to the, you know, not to tease that, but like Young Avengers, New Avengers, those kinds of situations, not to say that that's happening, but in a way it is, but not like the comic run, just in general, it's happening, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Agreed.
I mean, certainly folks know I'm interested in some kind of Midnight Suns thing, whether they do it as a series or a movie.
No, that is random information.
I'd love to see that. I'd love to see something for Dr. Doom, like separate from the Fantastic Four. Mm-hmm. I think it would be a fascinating movie to do. I agree. A lot of it is going to be sequels. We may very well be a Doctor Strange 3, a Black Panther 3, maybe a Blade 2 in 2024, a Captain Marvel 3. We know we're done with Guardians after this one. So just to give folks a little reminder of what we do have coming up. So we have Eternals later this year and Spider-Man 3. February of next year, we have Ant-Man 3. March of next year, we have Doctor Strange 2. May of next year, we have Thor Love and Thunder. Mm-hmm. July of next year, we have Black Panther 2. October of next year, we have Blade. And November of next year, we have Captain Marvel 2. So we have 6 movies next year. 6 freaking movies.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. Part of me thinks maybe they're going to move some dates because, like, that's a lot. But that said, they also have so much of this stuff that is produced and done or nearly done. And they got to get through the glut so they can basically get back on schedule, because this last year and a half has taken them off schedule quite a bit.
Yep.
For 2023, the only one that we do have fixed, that we have a name with a date, is Guardians of the Galaxy 3. That's in May of 23. So beyond that, these dates are pretty open. So that's what we have going on for new dates. So kind of our next mini discussion here. This right now, Spider-Man No Way Home, as far as we know, is Tom Holland's last film on contract. Spider-Man is one of the biggest heroes that is part of the MCU. Mm-hmm. What's gonna happen with Spider-Man?
This is a great opportunity to pass the baton to Miles Morales or another, POC Spider-Man, a diverse casting from the comic books, like a different face, a different person. And I think, like, as much as I want to see Tom Holland stay Spider-Man forever, obviously, because he's fantastic, I think he would come back as like a into the Spider-Verse Peter Parker, kind of situation in the future. And it doesn't mean that that has to be closed door, but it's an opportunity for lots more storytelling, a Gwen Stacy situation, Spider-Gwen and all of these other characters that we know are running around in the MCU waiting to just be thrown into the spotlight. I think Kevin's very aware of all of those. And I think that doesn't mean that, I mean, Tom Holland's so young, and I think a lot of the other, and this is maybe an assumption, but I think like Chris Evans or Robert Downey Jr. And even I think Chris Hemsworth approaching that, they're done essentially with the bulk of the MCU. And we know that for some of them. Yeah. I don't see that with Tom Holland. I see him being very, I'd extract or I'd sign up for 2 movies in the future. Or I see him being more fluid than I think like Chris Evans, when anyone's like, oh, maybe he's coming back. Like, he ain't never coming back. Like, it's not happening. He's super done. I don't see that with Tom Holland. I think that leaves an opportunity for him to be a presence in the MCU without having movies being made every 2 years with him as the lead, which I think is very freeing for the character and for like sort of the role of Spider-Man and what that could sort of grow into. I'd like to see multiple Spider-Men, women, people.
I actually had a lot of the same thought you did, Lizzie, with this. I think that at least for the time being, this is going to be Tom Holland's last Spider-Man film. He may very well come back. And I think the opportunity that they have here with this movie is that in the end, he ends up in a different timeline.
Yeah.
Then,
well, we don't know. Is he Doctor Strange too? Do we know if he's in it or not?
I don't think so. I don't think we know that.
They haven't said anything.
So, but then I think, so our other opportunity here is that we know that we had, in the first Spider-Man movie, we had Miles Morales' uncle.
Yeah.
At least in terms of the name used in the comic books. So viably, and he even mentions his nephew in the movie, viably, mm-hmm. we do have Miles Morales. So what I would love to see here is kind of the Ms. Marvel, Captain Marvel type of thing where Miles, you know, has this love for Spider-Man and what he stands for and what he does. Spider-Man somehow disappears into some other timeline and Miles basically becomes Spider-Man. So I agree, Lizzie. I would love to see that particular thing happen with Miles. I don't see, I mean, they've talked a lot about Marvel Studios and Sony continuing this relationship. And that relationship is based on Spider-Man. It is not based on anything else. And if they bring any of the other Sony characters into the MCU, Spider-Man is that vehicle for it. I just really don't see a whole lot of other stuff that Sony has that Kevin Feige saying, oh, wow, I really want that character. Yeah. I don't think so. It's everything revolves around Spider-Man. I mean, that is one of the top properties. So yeah. I don't think Spider-Man is going to go away. Sheba, what thoughts do you have on this?
That's exactly it. I agree with both of you. I don't think Spider-Man is going to go away. It's so popular. It is one of the most recognizable characters from Sony or like for the MCU even. So I don't think Sony's going to go, well, I think this is good. We're done with this now. Bye. Because I mean, technically this is one of the most popular or well loved Spider. I mean, the others did well as well, but I feel like the Tom Holland one or the MCU Spider-Man has done even more. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Sony's just going to be like, well, now we'll take it from here now. Peace out kind of thing. I feel
Tom Holland is the most endearing.
Yes.
Even though I think, you know, some people might have one of the other actors that was their mm-hmm. favorite, but I think everyone agrees. Yeah. First of all, Tom Holland is the most endearing. Second of all, because the other Spider-Man did not exist in the MCU, the Tom Holland version has had the most appearances. He's had the most screen time. So, I'm sorry. Continue.
I feel like Sony's not going to just let that go and be like, yeah, Marvel, yeah, you did. Thank you for doing what you do. And we're going to continue it on from here because the track record has been that Sony has, they've done okay with Spider-Man, but not what they've done with the MCU.
Yeah.
So I don't think they would want that and the money to go away just like that. So I feel like they would definitely continue it, but I agree with you and Lizzie. It would be fantastic if Miles, you know, was brought into the MCU and took over, at least, you know, for the most part, took over that role, because Miles does have interactions with Kamala and a lot of the other Marvel characters. I know he works a few times with in Kamala in Miss Marvel's comics as well. So that would be fantastic. We know that Riri's getting in there as well. So, you know, having them being in there all together would be awesome to see. So I don't think they're just going to be like, well, Tom Holland, you're done and that's it. But again, if they brought in Miles, Miles is definitely connected with the rest of the characters. So it's not like it would be very difficult to do. It's not like they're going to be like, oh, well, we can't do anything now with Spider-Man. And being able to see, on top of all of that, being able to see Miles's, you know, his powers and just Miles in general in the MCU would be fantastic. And everybody knows how well Miles's movie did for Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, absolutely.
Putting it into the live action would be, people would just lose their minds on that as well. So I would definitely love if they included that. And I hope that if that is the case, they don't tell us, because I mean, I don't want it to be like an end credit where it's like, look, it's just Miles. I would love Miles to actually show up and be in the movie for a bit, if possible.
Sure.
Because there's a lot of stuff that's going to be happening in No Way Home. So might be expecting a lot, but having him there would just be amazing. And if we did not know about it and we don't see it in any trailer and he just like randomly shows, I think I would scream and cry all at the same time while everything else is going on.
Yeah.
I also think that what the scuttlebutt is that Doctor Strange 2 is essentially our Captain America Civil War, like that caliber of people coming in and the impact it has on everything. So we have no idea what this, because Doctor Strange is in this and it's got such impact on the multiverse. And then we know we have Multiverse of Madness. Who knows how that's going to translate into Doctor Strange 2? I mean, can't you see like Miles Morales coming in that movie so beautifully and getting actually not having the shadow of Peter Parker, but like emerging on his own somewhere.
Yeah.
There's a lot of possibilities here. So the last item that we really have here last week, Bob Chapek, the CEO of Disney, has reaffirmed that Eternals will be an only in theaters release. So no Disney Plus premiere access. Assuming that we are hopefully going to see an end to this pandemic and things are going to be getting better, is this Disney Plus premiere access, is that done? Is that gone? Are we ever going to see this again? What do you guys think?
I mean, again, let's assume that the pandemic is done and over with. I feel like I really did appreciate the Disney premiere access for people specifically who can't go to the theaters. Even if it wasn't a pandemic, they weren't able to go to the theaters. Maybe they have young kids. Maybe they have some kind of illness or long-term illness that they can't actually physically leave to go to the theater to see movies. This is amazing, being able to give that accessibility for anybody who cannot physically go to a theater. I know it does cost money, so that, you know, it still would be difficult for people who maybe aren't able to afford to go to the theater. But at the same time, that being said, it would be great for people to get together as groups of people and, you know, sharing the amount for premiere access and being able to see it. So it could technically take away a little bit of that load for cost, because I mean, let's be honest, going to the movies is about $20 or so. Mm-hmm. So, you know, being able to share that load with a few other people and watching it at your own house, that would be pretty wonderful. So I think it shouldn't go away if we're talking about accessibility.
Yeah, I agree.
So Liz? Talked about when cons were doing like at home, the Comic-Con at home or like whatever.
Yeah.
The cons were doing like at home panels and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about accessibility from that standpoint. I mean, I think it's a mistake to just assume that because everybody's clamoring to go back to quote unquote normal, that those things aren't super important and haven't added an element of accessibility, like you were saying, Sheba. So I think like it's really short-sighted to say, oh, we just want to be in theaters, but also they've had some really garbage press from doing their online access because they handled it really poorly. So you know, if they could handle it correctly and roll that in with a mind towards accessibility, it would be really powerful. Will they? I mean, highest, as we've said, it's Disney, so probably not, but you know.
Right.
Yeah, I would like to see it continue. I think it would be really short-sighted of Disney to get rid of it, both for the accessibility issues that you guys mentioned, as well as I think that it's kind of taking a step backwards, because thinking about theater-only stuff is that's old thinking. And even before the pandemic, we were pushing more and more for streaming services to kind of be, you know, really a premier distributor. And the pandemic, I think, has shown the strength of that. It just simply is these production companies need to get in that right mindset and figure out how to structure it. Obviously, they want to maximize profit. They want to maximize distribution. They still don't want to take away the theater experience, which I think is really good. That's important. And obviously because of the whole ScarJo thing, they need to figure out how to equitably pay talent based on distribution. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's a big thing there.
Last quick thing I want to say is that I think they're missing the point that the theater going experience is an experience, and it's very different from watching the movie at home. And if you can, I went to see Shang-Chi twice in the theaters, and if it became available early, I would buy it immediately because I loved it so much and I definitely want to watch it more, but I wouldn't sacrifice the theater experience if I could not sacrifice the theater experience.
Sure.
I mean, obviously pandemic is a pandemic, but I found a way to see it, and I would do that with any film, especially a Marvel film, especially a big budget Disney movie. But at the end of the day, I'm still going to want to watch it at home. So the more you can remind an audience how powerful it is to see it in person on a big screen. Like Avatar is the dumbest movie to see on a small screen. If it had only been seen on a small screen, it wouldn't have made what it made. It had to be seen on a 3D big screen. So that's, we can't like get rid of that experience, but it's old. Like you said, it's old thinking to just do that.
I agree. So folks, that's going to do it for this episode. Please do check out episode 185, which is our review discussion of the Hawkeye trailer. And that's it. So thanks for joining us. We will catch you next time.